This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Andries. It's my privilege to be here this morning. I wanted to do the introduction a bit differently, but it's fine. It might still work. It is my great privilege this morning to introduce to you the speaker of the message today. It's someone that I've known my whole life. It's someone that I've grown up with since a little child. This person has been through a lot. He's been through a lot of uphill battles in his life, but he's also seen some amazing victories. And it's a real honor and a privilege for me to introduce this person. This person met his wife for the first time at the age of 20, got married at the age of 22, and then he had his first real encounter with God at the age of 24. And at 25, he got saved. He's got two beautiful boys, and 8 years later, he's standing right in front of you. Okay. So, that would have been more effective, obviously, if you didn't know I was preaching, but still, that's fine. So, why did I do that? Why did I introduce myself like that? So, the main reason maybe is just to get your attention, which I seem to have, so I'm glad about that. But the other reason is for me to stand here and talk to you and to share about myself, my life journey. It's easy, right? Because it's my life. I think out of all the people on earth, I might know myself the best, even though my wife might say something different. She'll say she knows me better. I don't think she can hear this yet. She's moving to the toddler room. But yeah, so it's easy for me to stand here and to share about myself. And the point I'm trying to get at is when we know ourselves, when we know who we are, it should be easy for us to come stand here, right? Like Almi brought that word, which is amazing. She said, there's no reason for us to be unashamed. There's no reason for us to be unashamed. Is that true? So if that's true, we would all be able to come and stand here and share our life journeys. We'd all be able to share it with confidence. And as we've sung earlier, I'll no longer be a slave to fear. So I really hope we meant that when we sing that. But the thing is, it's not. If I give this mic to any person here, it's not going to be easy for that person to stand here. It's not going to be easy for anyone to just share what they've been through, to share who they are, even though you do know who you are, because you are still going to be kind of afraid. So we sing songs like this last song, I will put my trust in you and I will not be shaken. Powerful. But when it comes to really meaning it and when it comes to doing it, shucks, it's much more difficult. Last week we were blessed with him, Johnny. He shared a wonderful message about inheritance, adding to Andres' message on inheritance. And he was speaking about sonship and being a son and what that means. And something that he said last week just stuck with me. He made the phrase that the church today has a major problem, and that's an identity problem. And it hit me. And I was thinking about that all week, an identity problem, what it means. The thing is, we do not all really know who we are. Like Almi said, she's on a journey. Everybody's on a journey. But the thing is, today in church, the biggest thing is we do not really know who we are in Christ and what we have. If we look we have this amazing purpose that Christ has given us. We've got this amazing reason to live since we've accepted Him. Yet most of us, we still do not walk in this fullness. We do not walk in this amazingly blessed life. And we have all been blessed. Paul puts it in Ephesians, and I'm going to sum up these blessings that he's speaking about. And it's a long scripture that I'm going to read now. It's the main scripture is Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 14. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the One He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also who were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, a promise, a Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions, to the praise of his glory. Now that is a lot to take in, and I don't expect you all to remember everything. But if you'd look closely, you'd see words like, these are things that we are called. This is what Paul says we have been blessed with. We are chosen. We are holy. We are blameless. We are set free. We are redeemed. We've read words there that tells us God has recognized us. He's adopted us. We are adopted. We are forgiven and we are grace lavished. So I'm going to touch on all of these subjects. I'm going to get to that. But what I want you to be mindful of is just how he starts this message. If we can just go back to the first slide, how Paul starts this from verse 3. It says, praise be to God. He praises God for the blessings that we have received. He gives God recognition of his glory and honor towards us. Now, for me, that already sets the tone to live a more full and content life. If we just start doing this more, praising God, there's just so much power in acknowledging the fact that God has blessed us. And as I said before, we are all blessed, and I'm sure you would all agree, we are all blessed. The very fact that you are sitting here today is a blessing. It's a huge blessing. The thing is, we don't always notice this. We don't always admit this. Sometimes we'll do it on a weekly basis. We'll just sit and we'll just count our blessings. Sometimes on a monthly basis. Sometimes, hopefully, on a daily basis. But Paul blesses God. And that stuck with me. The word bless in the Hebrew language means barach. To salute, to congratulate, thank, praise, and to kneel down. The source of this word is literally from the word berech, which means knee. So in the Old Testament times, people would go down on their knees when they received or when they were preparing to speak or receive a blessing to God or to a king on a throne. Now I ask myself, when last did we take a knee? When last did we take a knee? Just to bless God for what he has given us. David wrote in Psalm 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know the Lord. He is good. He is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Paul also wrote in Ephesians, and from Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 from verse 16, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's his will for us. It's God's will for us to give thanks, to praise him. In everything, give thanks. You see, having the spirit of thanksgiving should be a staple in any Christian's life. It should be the foundation in any Christian's life. It stirs up hope. It stirs up this confidence in us when we are reminded about Christ's faithfulness in our lives. There was an inspirational American author, William Ward, who wrote, feeling gratitude is like wrapping a gift and not giving it. And then we all know that famous quote, or a lot of us know it, from John Piper, where he says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. You see, when we worship, like this morning, and thank you, band, that was really incredible. It is so nice to just worship. And when we worship, it is so easy for us to just enter in his presence, to let go, to release. And this morning, again, I want to commend you. It was incredible, but it's just how it works. When we worship, it's easy for us just to go into that space, just to surrender, to lift our hands, to go down on our knees. But for some reason, during worship, it's easy. And then when we stop and we go into the real world again, then it changes. Then it's difficult again. Then it's not so easy. We need to give thanks always. If we read further in Ephesians, and I'm going to read from verse 4 now, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." You see, we are not just randomly selected by God. He doesn't just close his, he didn't go and close his eyes and just did that and you and you and you. No, that's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve purposely selected us for a specific reason. See, we were not just chosen, and it says in his word, we were not just chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight. No, we have been chosen in him and before creation, before the creation of the world. It's amazing. We were chosen in him. We are part of him. And he chose us before the creation of the world. That's how much he thought of us. We read in Ephesians 5 when it speaks of marriage and Christ and the church. Ephesians 5 is 25 to 27. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, and not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish." You see, in Christ, we are made clean, without wrinkle, spotless, blameless, presented unblemished, presented radiantly before him. We are set apart. We have to know this. We are set apart. His faithful hand is upon you. He set you apart. In Colossians, we read, 1 Colossians, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight." Above reproach means we have been made perfect in him. We have been made perfect. Ephesians 1 verse 4, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Those words "in love," we can't just skim over those words. They reveal his character and nature and his relationship towards us. We've been purposely thought of to be holy and blameless before God. In verse 5 we read, he predestined us, Ephesians 1 verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his God's grace that lavished on us. Adoption to sonship and redemption. You see, being adopted into sonship does not only mean that we are now just part of Christ's family. Yes, that is important. But it's so much more, as we've heard these last couple of weeks. It's so much more. We are now entitled to this eternal inheritance. We're not just part of this family. We've got this eternal inheritance. And it's an eternal inheritance, and we are entitled to that. In the Roman law, when adoption was complete, which, other words, it meant the person being adopted had all the legitimate rights of a son in that new family, and they lost all their rights in the old family. So in the eyes of the law, this was actually then a new person. So much so, a new person, that even the old obligations and the old debt was completely abolished, as if it never existed, towards the old family. That's amazing, because being adopted in Christ means our sins are gone, our debt has been paid. We are a new creation. We have been redeemed, as we read in that verse. And redeemed in the Hebrew language, it's called pada, not pada, pada. It actually means to rescue. This is amazing. It means to rescue, to free, to release, or to ransom. So in other words, redemption in Christ means we once were captive. We once were captive to the world, to our old lives, to sin. But we needed rescuing. We needed to be free. We needed to be saved. And then the word ransom, there was a price that needed to be paid for us to be free. And Jesus did that for us on the cross. He paid for us. He settled that debt for us, a debt that we can and never have to repay again. For each one of us has that debt, and He settled it. Our debts are abolished. All because, as we read further, the riches of His grace lavished on us. And then Jesus speaks in John 8. Jesus speaks to the Jews who started believing in Him. And that's that whole part where Jesus speaks about the truth will set you free. In John 8, verse 35 to 36, He says, "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but his son abides forever." I want to read that again. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but his son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Free indeed. It's complete. We have literally been taken from captivity and we are made new. This is who we really are. But make no mistake, my church family, you have to know this, that the enemy knows that we are blessed. The enemy knows these blessings in our lives, and he's going to try and prove the opposite of these blessings in your life, in all of our lives, because that is what he does. You are chosen, you are holy, you are blameless. Great. He's going to make you think you are impure, you are rejected, you are sinful. He's going to make you feel like you are guilty. He's going to make you feel like you are ignored. You see, one of the most powerful tools the enemy uses in our lives to deceive us is fear. Now, if we look at the opposite of adoption, which the dictionary will tell you is rejection, and we all think that's one of the first words, this rejection actually in the world's eyes, it just translates to so much more, so deeper than just actually feeling rejected. If we look in Romans 8 verse 15, it says, "For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, to whom we cry out, Abba, Father." That rejection translates into a bondage again to fear. And that is what he uses. A bondage to fear is a major cause for us, for the church, for his children, not to walk in their true identity, who Christ called them to be. That is what's keeping us from him. We take what lies the world tells us, and we make that our standard. We measure ourselves by the world's standards, which are very low, by the way. And it prevents us from realizing our adoption in Christ. It prevents us from walking in that what we already have in Christ. And it keeps us from living our lives the way God intended it for us, the way we should live our lives. You see, we forget that we are set apart by Christ, so we get separated from Him because we forget that we are in Him. We forget that He has already paid the price. And the worst part is, out of all of this, it's a lie. The worst part is, it's a lie. You see, when we were ransomed, the price was paid. It was done. The debt was paid and you were brought out of captivity. We were already freed. The enemy actually has no hold on us. He has no hold on us except that which we allow him to have hold of in our lives. He will try and separate us from the love of Christ, but we know that is impossible. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Because of God's glorious grace, we've been redeemed. We do not have to believe those lies, that we are unworthy, that we are sinful, we are rejected, we are impure, we are guilty. For the word says we did not receive that spirit, the spirit of bondage to fear. Not even fear, it's bondage to fear. That's how bad it is. But one of adoption. If we read further in that same verse in Romans, we read from verse 16, "The Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God." We are His children. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Indeed, if we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Isn't that amazing that we are part of Him? We are His, not the world. We belong to Him. We read in Ephesians 1 from verse 13, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promise by the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. The word guarantee literally means deposit. This, the NIV put those together, but it actually just said guarantee. But it means deposit. First installment, a down payment. You see, the Holy Spirit invested in us is God's claim to us, to the title of us, owning us for eternity, entirely. That is mind-blowing. That gives me so much hope for this life in Christ. He bought us with a price, and nothing can take that away from Him. It's been put down. We are His. That gives me a reason. That gives me a purpose to stand here. That gives me a purpose to be unashamed, to tell you this. It gives me a purpose to say, I will no longer be a slave to fear. Because that's what it is. It's not just, I will no longer be afraid. It's, I'm a slave to this. I will stand here and I will say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. And I will build my life upon His name, and I will not be shaken. For some, this might be a simple message of who we are in Christ, our identity message. But it's so simple, yet we tend to overcomplicate it. We tend to make it difficult for ourselves to understand this, and we separate from God. We separate from what He has given us already. And this morning, I want to pray specifically for those who know they have these blessings. I'm sure most of us here know we've been blessed, but we feel the world has taken control of these blessings. And we want to break free from that bondage. We want to break free from that bondage of fear in our lives. We want to live in the fullness that Christ has given and intended for us, to become holy, to become blameless. If that is you this morning, and you want to start again, you want to start on that journey again, and it was so beautiful the way Almi just said it this morning, on a journey. Everybody's on a journey. But if you want to go on that journey with Christ, you want to surrender those blessings that He has given you and walk in the fullness of Christ, just quickly raise your hand. Thank you. There's a lot of hands. Just Father, this morning we just stand before You. Father, this morning we behold the cross. We behold what You did for us. And doesn't matter where we are at, Lord, good or bad, the cross is what brings it all together, Lord. Lord, when we look at what You have done for us, Father, that You have redeemed us by Your blood, Lord, nothing else matters anymore, Lord. We have that full life. We have that new life in You, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we come before You this morning, and I pray for each of my brothers and sisters here that raised their hands, Lord. Father, that we declare we want to live a full life. We do not want to just exist on this earth, Lord, until the next thing, Father. We want to live a full life on this earth for You, Father. We don't want to have a meaningless life, a purposeless life, Lord. So You've given us this amazing purpose. So Father, I pray that You meet each person where they are at, Father. Just look into their hearts, Lord. I'm just reminded by the word that said, by Your grace lavished on us. Father, sometimes we do not think about this. We always think it's something that we need to do. We need to strive to get acceptance and approval from You, Lord. That's been done. If there's anyone here this morning that feels they do not know what these blessings are at all, they have not met with Christ before, you've never given or surrendered your life to the Lord, but you want this, you are hungry for this, and you're tired of your old life, you are tired of being a slave to fear, you are tired of being in this bondage of fear, and you've had enough of it, and you want to experience what God has intended for you, your purpose. You want to know Your purpose. Can I ask that you just quickly raise your hand? Just, Father, we just thank You. Thank You, Lord, for those hands. Father, those those who just took that step and that decision, Lord, to surrender it all and to not measure themselves by worldly standards, Lord, not to set the benchmark according to the world, Lord. They've surrendered their lives to you, Father. Father, we honor them and we thank you, Lord, for their lives. We thank you for that decision. And Father, may the cross be their main focus, their main vision. Father, and then I just pray for this whole church, Lord. You just give me this image of lenses being adjusted. Some of us go for eye tests. We've all been to an eye test and they do these adjustments until you see the script clearly. Lord, do that. Father, we pray for that in our lives, Father. Father, I pray that you help us, that we can readjust our focus, our hearts and our minds, our sight onto you, onto the cross, Lord, and not to the world. Open our spiritual eyes, Lord.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.